There's a rumour going round that Mark and I are making a bid to take over the church. Of course, praise God, we're not. And let's all remember Bimby, particularly on Friday of this coming week when it will be his mum's funeral out in Sierra Leone. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. During the week, I felt the Lord say to me that there would be somebody here this morning who has walked in limping because they have gone over on their ankle. And I think it's their right ankle. If that's you, please do come up for prayer at the end. Also, I had two names. One of them was Jonathan, but I felt that that wasn't their normal used name. It was one of their middle names. If that's you, then please have a word with me afterwards. And thirdly, I had the name Hetty, which is not a very common name, but if that refers to somebody here or somebody close to you, equally, come and see me. Generally speaking, when I get names like that, it's because the Lord has a word of encouragement for you. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's a familiar verse to many of you, I'm sure, and perhaps even a more familiar image, the jars of clay. But it's always good when you read a scripture to look at the context of that scripture. Paul had a somewhat tempestuous relationship with the church in Corinth. The details of that are for another time. But the church in Corinth was planted during an 18-month visit by Paul to what would today be called southern Greece during his second missionary journey. And after those 18 months, when he moved on, he began to get some disturbing reports about some of the things that church was getting up to. And the letter that we know as 1 Corinthians was written. It appears, though, that that wasn't as effective as he had hoped. And so he wrote a second letter, which was much stronger in tone, but has been lost somewhere in the eons of time. But that letter worked, apparently, and brought them back onto the straight and narrow. Unfortunately, there then arose up in the church a faction who attacked Paul on a more personal level. And he sought to answer that in the letter which we have and know as 2 Corinthians. It's a letter which is a mix of defence and encouragement. Defence by Paul, not of his own importance, but rather of his clearly God-ordained authority and message. And it's out of this that we have our verse for this morning. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I want to look at this verse this morning asking three questions. What is this treasure? What are these jars of clay? And why did God choose such vessels? So first of all, what is this treasure? But we have this treasure. What is it? Well, if we look back at the beginning of chapter 4, we read this. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. So this treasure is a ministry. But then that begs the question, what ministry? If we go back a bit further into chapter 3, we see that Paul is contrasting two revelations of God. On the one hand, there was the revelation of God through Moses, which we now call the law. And then there was the revelation of God through Christ, which Paul calls the ministry of the Spirit. Incidentally, this contrast that Paul brings in chapter 3 between the law and the Spirit is at the heart of many of the disputes that Jesus faced with the religious elite of his day, the kind of thing that we read in the Gospels. It's sad to say that 2,000 years on, those disputes are still around with people who seek to defend their religion. But I said incidentally, so I won't go down that track further this morning. Back to our passage. The treasure, therefore, that Paul refers to in our verse is the ministry of the Spirit. And at the beginning of our little section of chapter 4, we read what that ministry of the Spirit actually is. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So this treasure, which is a ministry, which is the ministry of the Spirit, is all about Jesus. It's about his glory. His glory in his humanity and in his divinity. It's about being him as Lord. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Many of you will know that the earliest creedal statement in the early church was simply the statement, "Jesus is Lord." Down the centuries, our creeds have got a bit longer and more wordy. Those of you who were here last Sunday may remember I mentioned a particular creed for Trinity time, which goes on for 3.5 pages in the old prayer book. But 2,000 years ago, to say Jesus is Lord landed many a young Christian in the arena to be eaten by lions or to be set on fire. Because it was a capital crime to declare anybody Lord except Caesar. More than that, to say Jesus is Lord is a simple and yet profound statement. He doesn't require any years of theological training. I don't know when Mark is 20 years down the line like I am, he will remember anything he did in his theological training. I don't think I do. But you didn't need any deep theological training. You didn't need to have some complex theological framework of thinking. And it's a good job you didn't. Because as Paul points out in the letter, the first letter to the Corinthians, he points out that many of the folk in that church were but simple folk. And so anyone can understand the statement, Jesus is Lord. He's the boss. He's in charge. We have to obey him. Forgive me for another incidentally. As I was preparing, it struck me that there's a danger in our Christian circles like this church of actually losing the reality that Jesus is Lord. It's so familiar, and praise God that we think of him as Saviour, dying and rising for our sins. And then, of course, we have been introduced to the idea of intimacy in relationship with God, with the Trinity, as I preached last week. The great privilege of calling God Abba, Father. But there is a danger that our relationship with Jesus can become cozy. And we forget that Jesus is Lord. Before anything else, Jesus is Lord. He is to be obeyed. No longer for favour. We don't obey him out of cowering fear. We obey him from the favour that we know. We obey him because we love him. But nevertheless, we are to obey him. Okay, back to this treasure. This treasure is all about Jesus. It's about his glory, about his lordship, about his light, and about his truth. But what about the container for this treasure? But we have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasures that the world has of various kinds are always closely guarded. And indeed, the more valuable, the more expensive they are, the more sophisticated is the security. But what a contrast Paul makes. This treasure, which is infinitely more valuable and lasting, is in jars of clay. The image, common enough, we're all familiar with them. They're fragile ceramic pots. They're of low value, easily broken and replaced, often chipped, cracked, no expensive decoration. But Paul says, that's us. Chipped, cracked, and a bit missing. And as I look round, I know what he means. But before you string me up, Paul, of course, is not saying that God sees us as worthless, to be thrown away, expendable. Of course not. What Paul is saying is that compared with the treasure, the containers are like cheap pots. In other words, we don't need to be glamorous catwalk models. We don't need to be Olympic athletes. We don't need to be Nobel Prize winners to contain this treasure, which is Jesus. Actually, Paul is being very personal here, because one of the accusations thrown at him that's referred to in this letter, addressed in this 2 Corinthian letter that we have, is that he was not actually qualified to be an apostle because he came over as weak, someone who was always being beaten up, persecuted. He didn't look much. He possibly stuttered in his speech. And even in this chapter, a little beyond where we read, he talks about himself wasting away. But isn't this an encouragement to all of us? God entrusts his treasure to everyone who will receive it. He doesn't look at us and say, well, I wonder if you're qualified, or wonder if you're clever enough, or whether you're good looking enough, or whether you've got the necessary physical attributes. No. Every single one of us who will receive it, God will entrust his treasure to us. So the treasure is none other than Jesus. The container is none other than us, with all our weaknesses and frailties. But my final question is, why did Jesus choose us? Why did the Lord choose us to be vessels of his treasure? But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That's why he chose us. He chose us because of our very humanness, our very frailty, our very weakness, that his glory may shine through. Many, many years ago, when I was in a season when I used to use Script Union notes for my daily Bible readings, I remember reading a note on this very passage, and I'll read it to you. A politician and instructor of politicians once wrote this, and the note goes on to quote him. The greatest defect in a person is to show his or her humanness, for then a person ceases to be held divine. Unquote. Many today, goes on the Script Union note, many today follow such worldly thinking. In building themselves up on the strength of their appearance and credentials, however, and asking that their followers evaluate them on this basis, then they do not allow God's presence to shine through. Rather, they remain opaque to God's power, revealing no new basis for trust and confidence, but affirming the values of the world. You see, in God's economy, our very vulnerability is what allows his treasure to be seen, to be shining through. In fact, that Script Union commentary was headed, "Hide vulnerability, hide God." Again, it's what was behind the attacks on Jesus that we read in the gospel. The religious elite, while strictly adhering to their interpretation of the law, saw themselves as invincible. And when Jesus challenged that, and hence their position in society, it's no wonder they wanted to do away with him. But the treasure we contain, Jesus, about saving folk, however awful or damaged they may be, is not a clever philosophy or a new fashionable political ideal. It is none other than the all-surpassing power of God. I don't know about you, but Jenny and I have the Today program on every morning at breakfast. But more often than not, we turn it off before it comes to an end, because it's so depressing. I'm tired, and most of the world is tired of promises of wonder cures. Tired of leaders with all their answers to the latest problems. But as Christians, we are to be different. We're not to make claims about ourselves and our clever ideas, about our abilities. No, we're no longer to point to ourselves, but rather to him, working in and through us, despite our weaknesses. I said at the beginning that many people will be familiar with this verse, and not least the jars of clay idea, the cracked pot. But it's this very weakness that allows the Spirit to leak out. Over 100 years ago, the great American evangelist D.L. Moody was asked by a journalist one day why he banged on about needing to be filled with the Spirit day after day after day. And he looked at the journalist and just said this: "It's because I leak." We are meant to be cracked so that we leak the treasure that God has deposited within. For as Paul begins our passage, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. What treasure? None other than Jesus himself, in his glory, in his lordship, in his light, and in his truth. What are the vessels? You and me, in all our weakness and foibles and cracks and chips. And why did God do it that way? So that the focus is ever on him and not on us. Let's pray. Father, we are totally blown away that you would entrust the greatest treasure that has ever been to the likes of you and me. Father, thank you that you have done so, and may we be those who neither keep this treasure to ourselves nor hide it away, but we let it leak out to all around us that we meet, whether it's in our homes, at work or at school, down the road or on the shops or whenever, that people will see that it comes from you and not from us. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.